Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The generic voice just said, recording in progress.
Welcome to the JT and Looney podcast.
Episode 209.
We call this the summer series. Last year, our highest rated and most downloaded podcasts were over summer, when radio hosts decide to take time off, when cable news anchors try to humanize themselves by doing shows on the beach with D-list no one ever heard of. We do the heavy lifting. We provide podcasts over the summer. Great to see you, Tom. You look very flowery today as I'm looking at the video.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Just a little something through on. I believe it's a Versace. I rarely will actually know the label names of my clothes, but this one's funny because this is a line that I really like, and they're called Chubbies. And I don't know how they originally got their name. Because you know, how physically fit obsessed I am, what a physical fitness obsessive I am, but they sell them at Dick's Sporting Goods, and they're really cool shirts, and that's what I got on today.
Let's not forget, we're brought to you by Modelo. Oh, that sounds so good. It's going to be so cold. Oh, watch this.
Day drinking going on. Good for you.
You know why I don't have a radio show tonight, and I did a radio show today. And I believe, and this is very important, could be the elite topic of the podcast. I believe in the summer. In the summer, you need to act like it's the summer. Yeah, we're getting away from that, man. It's the summer. From June to the end of August, act like it's the summer. Walk in the sun like you did today. Go to the beach. Get in the pool like I do. I don't look at the pool. I get in it. Drink beer when it's hot out and it's 105 where you live. And celebrate summer, man, because what the hell is life all about if we aren't rewarding ourselves with great summertime activities?
Yes, and rewarding our sponsors too, not only Modelo, but Bet Online, where the game starts. Oh, actually, the new moniker is Bet Online, the game starts here. And you smell that? That's the smell of NFL football around the corner and NFL training camps. A lot of them training here in Southern California. Want to bet on some futures? Maybe get some good odds on who the next Super Bowl champion might be? Head to Bet Online and do it. You can also bet on, well, I guess you just got baseball left, right? So head to Bet Online, bet on some baseball games, get every stat, matchup, live odds while the games are being played, which is really cool. And when any game you're watching is over, you can head over to their online casino, get in a game of blackjack, poker, or unwind with one of their 150 slot games at Bet Online. Head there today, and if you're not a member yet, sign up, use the promo code BELIEVE. Friends of JT and Looney can use the promo code BLEAV. Get your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at Bet Online. The game starts here.
And I just had a great family out, the Maloneys. My buddy John Maloney, I went to college with. He was a fraternity brother of mine. I got a lot of fraternity stuff behind us. And he came out here for Dead and Company. We saw John Mayer and Bob Weir and the new version of the Grateful Dead at the Sphere. Oh, it was so good. The graphics, you were levitating on the floor. The stage was moving. There were people to your right, not me, I don't partake, on mushrooms. Mm-hmm. There were people the left on the stickiest of the ickiest.
There were gummies. Wow.
Thing was going on. And we had a good time, but he happened to come out here as it was 107, 107, 104. And throughout the day, my wife would bring out snacks to the pool, and we'd get in the pool, and we'd have the music on. We had rafts. We had hats on because you need some sunscreen and hats. And we were going through spurts where we were spending 6-7 hours in the water.
Oh, that's
just
great.
A cool thing to see.
One of the things I think people don't realize, because they frighten us with skin cancer, but the sun does far more for you than it does harm. You need the vitamin D. The sun is so good for you, more than it is bad for you.
Skin alert. I went to the dermatologist. Everybody should do this every year. I went and sit down with this young doctor. He came in and he checks out, you know, you disrobe and they're going to check you for moles.
Yeah, I'm going on the 25th of June to do that.
Everybody goes. So he looks between your fingers, your toes, your back, your shoulders. Found a couple of spots there that they did a little scrape for a little biopsy. You know, this or that. Everything was good. But on the tip of my nose, I didn't notice. He asked me to look up, and right under here, under the tip of my nose, he saw this little red spot, and he actually shot my nose up with a needle, which, that was something I wasn't expecting. He scraped just a little bit off it for a biopsy. Luckily, it came back negative. There was nothing wrong there, but he noticed something there, which was great. Then they found a little thing on the back of my thigh that they want to come back and look at again. What they do is they just take a bigger piece out of you, and everything's fine, but they got to look at that. And the point is, everybody should be doing this. I didn't think I'd mention it here for us men, even around our age and younger than us. Colonoscopy, skin cancer checks, all of that really important. Don't avoid it. Don't be one of those people. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to get my blood worked on. I don't want to see the dermatologist. Do it, because normally nothing's wrong, but you want to catch it early.
Oh, and it is one of those things. I don't know if it's a guy thing, if it's an American thing. Avoiding the doctor, and especially the generations before us. I remember my grandfather would watch Jeopardy and answer every question. He was because he always overcompensated. They didn't have enough money for him to go to college when he was growing up, and so he just took books out of the library by the stack. But the saints and angels in our lives aren't perfect. And he had a philosophy. He didn't like going to the doctor. And he would tell this story about he went to the doctor one day and a guy was missing his finger. Then the next time he went, the same guy was missing an arm. And I know that story wasn't true. But he thought if you don't go to the doctor, then they won't find anything. And that's an old school philosophy that doesn't work.
Willie Mays passed away at the age of 93. I did a radio tribute show to him. I guess I'm the only guy left in radio that can do an hour or two on one topic when someone passes away. I didn't have to stop and bring in the NBA insider. I didn't have to stop and bring in the hockey insider for the Cup. I did 2 hours on the radio today about Willie Mays. I mean, the numbers are insanity, right? The numbers are ridiculous. 24 All-Star games, Rookie of the Year, MVP between 1951 when he won the Rookie of the Year. Next 2 years, he missed Major League Baseball for his Korean War service, which was mostly done in the United States on a ball field, but he didn't play Major League Baseball. He comes back in 1954, his first full season back. He wins the MVP and the World Series. I mean, that'd be like LeBron winning the Rookie of the Year, gone for 2 years to serve his country, comes back for his fourth year, wins the MVP and the NBA title. I mean, Tom, you don't hear stories like this. He was an elite Negro League player who was fast forwarded to baseball as other Negro League players were not able to do that. And then he became one of the greatest icons in American sports history, right up there with Muhammad Ali. I mean, I'll put Ali over him, but after looking back at Willie Mays' life, Willie Mays had a lot to do with bringing people together, the Say Hey Kid, and being a beautiful winner of the Congressional Medal of Freedom. Everything he's done in his life, he's one of the greats of all time. Tom, he's a titan in sports. Let's pay tribute to Willie Mays.
And a lot of baseball players, even the ones that don't throw compliments around. So, some people throw compliments around like manhole covers. It's hard to get it out of them. But almost to a man, a lot of baseball players thought of Willie Mays as the greatest baseball player they had ever seen. And if he had played for the Colorado Rockies, he would have had 2,000 home runs. But he played a good portion of his career in San Francisco, and that heavy sea air where a lot of his home runs were brought back by the wind and the sea air, or he would have had a lot more home runs than he did.
Let me also add the polo
668 home runs, right?
Let's add in the polo grounds mm-hmm. in New York, where he played for the Giants. Remember, he made a 460-foot catch over his head in the World Series. It's the greatest catch of all time under pressure. Jim Edmonds had a great diving behind mm-hmm. the back. And great catches all time. Never in a World Series with runners on base, and he got the ball back to the infield. Widely considered the greatest catch of all time for the magnitude of what that game meant in a World Series, on top of all of the great plays he made. Someone said yesterday in one of those obituaries, his ground in the outfield, how much ground could he cover? Foul pole to foul pole. If he wanted the ball, get out of his way. He's going to get the ball. And Willie Mays was able to do it. Five-tool player. I know you know what the five tools are. Hitting for average, hitting for power, defense, and running the bases. He was brilliant. I think what distinguishes him over Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth were in my top three is he was a better base runner and a better base stealer. So when any list you have to have Willie Mays number one, Babe Ruth, Henry Aaron number two or three. I don't think you can ever move those guys, Tom, off the list.
Yeah, and there were with Willie Mays and Hank Aaron, if either guy had had 300 home runs, they still would have been the greatest baseball players of all time. Pete Rose was not only chasing down Ty Cobb, Pete Rose was chasing down Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron was number two all time when he retired in base hits. So if he had 300 home runs, he was a five-tool player, and he was amazing, consistent. He never had more than 50 home runs. I think he had more than 50 home runs once in a season. So he was so consistent. It was 39, 49. It was incredible. Never had 60. And the way he could – Hank Aaron, arguably the greatest baseball player of all time, I've always said – if I was going to have a caveat for that, it would be Willie Mays, who was probably better at doing all of the things Hank Aaron did. And you can't say that about anybody else.
You opened up a weird door for me, because when you pay tribute to any athlete who dies, you want to pay tribute to them and make it about them. Mm-hmm. And then you don't want to berate other people. But you opened the door up with his godson, Barry Bonds, mm-hmm. who I covered his entire career along with you. I covered Barry Bonds' entire career. I was on the radio his entire career. I lived in San Francisco. I've been in the locker room before when he was berating the media, when he was a bad teammate to others, when he didn't get along with his managers like Jim Leland in Pittsburgh. You didn't hear that about Willie Mays. And what made me most uncomfortable about this is as Bonds was tracking down Henry Aaron and Babe Ruth, he had to get to Willie Mays first at 660. And when he passed Willie Mays, his godfather, and Willie Mays was waiting at home plate, and they made it, I thought it was very uncomfortable, because everyone should have known by then that Bonds was cheating, aggressively cheating, to get to Henry Aaron, but he had to go through Willie Mays. And that really bothered me, because he was a bad guy at that time, one of the greatest players of all time, and he never would have got near Willie Mays, nowhere near close, if he wasn't on performance-enhancing drugs, the Clear and the Cream, Balco, which is all clear to everybody. But people in San Francisco, where I lived at the time, they didn't want to believe it. They wanted to stand up and give him a standing ovation as the ball ended up in the water in McCovey Cove. And that always left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, and it was tough on San Francisco Giants fans, because it was so exciting when he was up to bat. Everything stopped. Everything in that city stopped. You knew when he was up to bat because people were looking through windows and into bars.
Yeah.
Because I had been in San Francisco when he was at bat and watched that happen, and watched, even if it wasn't a sports bar, everyone stopped to watch Barry Bonds. But I guess there's no reason to. You're right. I don't know how much time you want to go down the rabbit hole of Bonds is a bad guy. That's a whole podcast in itself.
Here's why you opened the door for me. You said those two guys would have been Hall of Famers with 300 home runs with everything.
Right.
So would Bonds.
You're right.
So would Bonds. He just would have stopped around 475, 500. Yeah. We all know how he got to well over 750. He had to do it that way. But I believe this is going to be a very important moment as we record this podcast the Wednesday before they play at the Negro League site in Birmingham. And they're going to pay tribute to Willie Mays on Thursday, depending on when you're listening. And Bonds is going to be there. This is a big moment for Barry. to humanize himself even more, which he has been doing, mm-hmm. to like live in the bask in the shadow of his godfather. His dad's not alive, Bobby Bonds. Represent the Bonds family and the Mays family as Barry Bonds, the human being. And I think it'll do wonders for Barry, because Barry's starting to win over the room with how good of a guy he's become and wanting to put
people
the past
change.
Behind.
Yeah, and people change. And I am a great believer in, you know, people who say that people don't change many times are projecting. But I think people are all, I'm fascinated by people's ability to change themselves. And every human being is capable of great change. And you know, Bonds didn't go into baseball because so he could be a media star on the cover of Sports Illustrated, like some guys do, and that's okay. He wanted to do what his dad did, and that's romantic. And so, but because he wanted to do what his dad wasn't real happy with the media either, so that was a chip on the shoulder that he had that made him a stink bot. Now, we also heard, it was Jeff Pearlman we had on in studio that wrote the Bonds book about how when he was playing baseball in college, Arizona State, was it?
And he played Arizona State, yeah, when my son goes.
Yeah, and the team had an anonymous vote about whether or not to keep him on the team. They voted him off the team.
Yeah, he was a tough guy to get along with.
But the coach didn't let anyone know the vote, and the coach said we voted to keep him. Because the coach lied about the vote, because you don't get rid of Barry Bonds. So you've played on teams. I've played on teams. Rugby at the highest level for you. Pop Warner at the highest level for me. And
yes.
And we were, you know, we worked as a team together at work. And you want to get along with other people when you're on a team. But that wasn't necessarily Barry's philosophy. But people are capable of great change.
So we know that people are listening to this podcast because we need you to subscribe and share. Subscribe, like, and share. One of the things you can reach back out to us is this. I threw this out on Twitter or X at JT the Brick. I believe if I was king, my Mount Rushmore for baseball, you could not remove three players, Henry Aaron, Willie Mays, and Babe Ruth. And I'm fine with Willie Mays being the greatest player of all time. But a lot of people for a long period of time had the greatest player also being Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, Sandy Koufax. So we're looking for that fourth person. So it's Mays, Aaron, without a doubt, Mays, Aaron, and Babe Ruth. There's room for one more on Mount Rushmore. And the modern day guys like Derek Jeter, Mariano Rivera would be the closer, but I don't think he makes it there. The only player that I saw in my lifetime that had a chance to be that guy was Mike Trout. His first 4 years with Babe Ruth and Willie Mays. They were everything. Average, home runs, running the bases, playing defense. And then he's just been eviscerated by injuries the whole time. Let me give you one more guy that I want you to pump your brakes on, Mr. Hollywood, Mr. L.A. This Shohei Ohtani talk. So I did a little research today, and this is a guessing game. I usually don't put you on the spot.
Sorry.
Guess how many wins Shohei Ohtani has as a pitcher. Just guess.
Oh, uh-oh.
Can't Google. Just guess. You know, we're talking about Sandy Koufax, Christy Mathewson, Nolan Ryan, Steve Carlton. Oh, nothing. Greg Maddux. Walter Johnson, okay.
7 years in the league. He's probably, I think he pitched six. He was hurt there. So let's say 10 wins. Is it 60?
39.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So Shohei Ohtani's a player of our generation. Oh, no. First off, he doesn't pitch. He doesn't pitch this year. He doesn't pitch. Okay. Aaron Judge has better numbers than Ohtani, and he's a hitter and was an MVP, and Ohtani is a great player. But is Ohtani going to surpass Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, and Babe Ruth as a hitter? I don't think so. If he pitches and he dominates along with hitting, he has a chance to surpass Babe Ruth and be on the same platform as Willie Mays and Henry Aaron. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you saw the game last night as we record this, but the Dodgers were down 9-4 in the ninth inning. They were down to their last out, and they came back and won the game 11-9. And it was thanks in part to Shohei Ohtani, and watching getting the privilege to watch him and Mookie Betts.
Mookie Betts is,
oh my, and Mookie's hurt right now, but God, Mookie Betts might be my favorite baseball player, might be in a lot of ways the best baseball player in the league, but I'm biased. But getting to watch this All-Star team, with the Dodgers every night is certainly a treat for me.
Condolences to you on the Celtics surpassing your Lakers with 18 titles to the Lakers 17. I know you haven't been the same since. I know there's no depression. We don't talk much about depression on the podcast. We want everybody to get help if they have it.
Especially when I was related to sports and what we do for a living. Yeah, we're not allowed.
Well, the Minneapolis Lakers won 5 titles and the LA Lakers have won 12. So we're able to combine that. Mm-hmm. Like we're able to combine the New York Giants of Willie Mays' World Series with the three with Bruce Bochy. We're allowed to do that. Teams like Boston have been in Boston the whole time. You know, if you didn't move from somewhere, but man, Southie and these bean towns and Sully from Southie, all they're doing, because I don't think they played many good teams. I mean, the competition level was a joke. And all they're saying is, nah, 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 we got one more than the Lakers. We're better than the Lakers. We have 18. You have 17. Is that their badge of honor now that Boston surpassed you, a Laker fan?
It's, well, I guess so. What's fascinating is no matter what the conversation is in the NBA, that's how sort of towering figure the Lakers are, and there's nobody's even close when it comes to a franchise in the NBA and their star power, because no matter what you're talking about, even when the Bucks are winning championships or whatever, then LeBron was with the Lakers and they didn't get one. No matter what the conversation is, what's it come back to? What's the common denominator? It's tied into the Lakers somehow, whether it's at a bar or people with microphones talking. It is a compliment to the Lakers franchise that no matter what anybody's ever talking about in the NBA, they got to tie it back to either sticking their tongue out at the Lakers or making comparisons to the Lakers.
Well, I'll tell you this about the Celtic run. Congratulations to our Boston listeners, and we have many. They were great, and statistically all time because of their ease of getting through and winning their 16 games and their record going in. They just slaughtered everybody. I don't think the competition was tough. Indiana was hurt. The Knicks were hurt against Indiana. You know, Giannis was injured. Nikola Jokic wasn't there in the finals, which he should have been. You know, the Lakers were a non-factor. So were the Warriors. So you play who you
Lakers
play.
Lakers would have been a factor. Would have, should have, could have, had they not had taken off the Denver Nuggets first thing. God damn it.
So I don't think the Boston Celtics championship is going to go down as one of the greats of all time, but maybe it should, because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are great players. Porzingis was banged up. He played through injury. He's really good. Al Horford got that gorilla off his back. Remember, he won back-to-back college basketball championships as a Gator, and then he goes and he couldn't win in the pros, and he finally got his. The coach, I thought the young coach who took over for Ime Udoka because he couldn't behave at work. Outside his marriage, remember, he couldn't behave. He lost that team. Brad Stevens was a great coach, and he went upstairs to be the GM. And Boston is world champions with 18 banners, and I think they're going to go down as one of the better Celtic teams all time because the stats prove it.
Well, and the stats do prove it, and I think a lot of times we don't realize when the grass is green at the moment. We say, well, this team isn't as great as fill in the blank. Sometimes we can't enjoy the moment without trying to compare something to the past, because it never seems as though, you know, sports is very nostalgic, and we always like to think something was better back in the day instead of just enjoying the greatness which is right in front of us, and which is the NBA product, which I enjoy, and we both always enjoyed a lot. And the champions of Boston Celtics are. I don't think we need to look for a chink in their armor at this moment.
I know you wanted to talk about OJ because OJ just died. There's an anniversary of the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
Yeah, 30th
friend. And then there was the anniversary of the White Bronco, then the anniversary of the trial and the decision. So this is something that you were a part of, you are a part of now as a newsman in Los Angeles. And what did that 30 mean to you as it just came about?
Well, it just brought back really difficult memories because it was right at the beginning of a lot of my childhood memories and idols just getting taken down. And, you know, O.J. Simpson had such a charmed life, and very few people other than Cher are able to keep their fame and monetize it through the 60s, 70s, 80s. He was still going at it in the 90s, along with Cher. Nobody else had been famous since the 60s. They kept it going, kept monetizing it, got better and better, worked at being a broadcaster on television, had his much better educated children go over tapes with him so he could improve his English and his diction and the way he spoke. So he really worked hard at it the way he did as a football player, and had a great Q rating in sports. When the USA Today in the early 90s put out the Q ratings on the front page, and very people are really picky about their sports catchers. But the guy with the highest Q rating was O.J. Simpson, along with Bob Costas, Al Michaels, and John Madden. And I was enjoying, part of my, he came along through my childhood, and then there he was on television, always in front of me, giving me warm feelings. And then that happened. By the way, very popular in Hollywood, great tipper wherever he would go, so charismatic, full of fun and smiles, and great conversationalist, as we still saw on Twitter. But that was very uncomfortable, of course. And then that happened, and it ruined it all. I mean, it was just, there was this hole in my heart. And I remember following the trial. I'm just had to try to find a way that he didn't do it. Okay, I got to be his defense lawyer here and see, why did the shoes have to be the same size? Why did the blood have to be there? And I understood why he got off, and people don't talk about it often enough. It's one simple thing, but you can't have a 3-hour special if you point this out. And that is, the detective who was the first guy upon the scene was asked if he planted any evidence, and he pled the fifth. You got a murder trial, and a guy who was asked if he planted evidence pleads the fifth. No, the answer is no. And then you got to let the guy go. So I thought that's what it came down to more than anything. But that was just part of my childhood. And then, of course, then there's Penn State, Bill Cosby. Just all these parts of my childhood that eventually got crop sprayed. So that was rough. The worst part of that, of course, is not Tom Looney's childhood. It's how about Nicole Brown Simpson's family and Ron Goldman, who never gets mentioned, and his family, and his life was just starting. That's the worst part of it, not my childhood.
Well, that double murder had a big impact on everyone's life who's above the age of 45. Anyone 45 or older who lived that on television, from the white Bronco chase during the NBA Finals with the Knicks, to what it was throughout the whole trial.
And a lot of people's first introduction to the criminal justice system and how a trial works, unfortunately. Yeah,
and I've lived in it. I live in Vegas, so I saw him around a lot. Like, you saw OJ, if you lived in Vegas, you saw him around a lot. He lives on my side of town, not too far from me, so I would go into establishments and he would be there.
He stayed very social to the end. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not claiming to be the biggest sports guy in town, but I'm a sports guy here in town, and I would never go up to him, nor would I, and I had multiple opportunities to do it. Very uncomfortable not to shake his hand, because the amount of looky-loos, the amount of white women who are blonde in their 40s and 50s who wanted to take a selfie with him.
Yeah.
In fact, not, and I've seen it, is insanity. And then a bunch of people who want to watch football games with him or hang out with him or golf with him. And look, to each his own. Some people thought he was innocent. Other people thought he was iconic.
We love famous people in this country. You're right. And no matter what people say, as at a barbecue about if they met O.J. Simpson, what they'd say, we saw with our own two eyes. It's not true. We see famous people, and we as Americans, and we light up and we shake their hand and we take a picture.
Also, I want to get into this podcast. My youngest son turned 21 yesterday on June 18th. And very fortunate for him, he will have a holiday after his birthday the rest of his life, Juneteenth.
Yes.
So the rest of his life, my son just turned 21, and he's out golfing. He loves to golf. But, we're trying to figure out, can we have the Super Bowl, which 100% we're going to have the Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl is going to end on a Sunday night. We're going to have that Monday off, I believe, Veterans Day. That's going to happen going forward. And my son will have June 18th as his birthday, and the rest of his life, he will have a day off.
On the day, yes.
The day after that. So
nothing's better than be able to sleep in, wink, wink, on the day after your birthday party.
But I'm proud of my son who turned 21. So my wife and I now have crossed over the rainbow we have two kids now that are legal age. My son, who's 21, was not allowed to have beverages at ASU. Could have them in his room and in his, obviously, apartment. I'm not saying he didn't ever have it, but they're the scoundrels. They have those IDs in the bar where they take your ID and they put it in a machine,
right?
Kind of like a machine at DMV, and they go, no, no, no. And you can't go, well, no, I'm from Austin, Texas, and I'm really 26. No, we're going to rip it up. That's not you. So now he's going to be able to go get his senior year because he lost his senior year in high school to COVID and his freshman year of college to COVID to be at campus but doing classes online. So he's part of that generation in that group that lost a couple of years in college and their teens to COVID, and now he stepped into his adulthood at 21.
Yeah, and that's so I'm happy that he's going to get to graduate college under normal circumstances. So, you know, a lot of kids got ripped off with COVID in high school. Then sometimes their college graduations being minimized or canceled or et cetera because of protests. So it's this last generation, last 4 or 5 years since COVID-19 has gone through some tough stuff that no other generation had to go through for quite a while.
Told you I wanted to get into this too. This is a full service podcast. I mean, this is why you download this podcast. I mean, other people couldn't do any of this. They'd be scared to go from one topic to another. We're able to do that. I come home and I've always been a Fox News watcher. I lean to the right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I lean to the right. I'm not down the middle, but I'm very disappointed at times with the right, like I am with the left. And now I'm noticing, I remember Roger Ailes passed away and mm-hmm. Rupert Murdoch and his kids now. Who decided to take some of these people who are the panelists and the host of these Fox News shows and try to humanize them after all their divorces, sleeping with each other at work, literally leaving your wife and leaving her for someone you met at work who now you're married with as kids? Who thought it was smart to humanize them by putting comedians on all the shows now? There's a D-list comedian on every show on Fox now that couldn't fill a fucking coffee house front room in Summerlin, Nevada. And you've never heard of them. We're not talking Kevin Hart and Seinfeld here. We're talking about guys you never heard. And we put them on all the panels to make jokes. Did Roger Ailes want jokers around when he had Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck and Tucker and he had everybody else? Did he put a comedian on all those panels to try to humanize jokes? Judge Gene, Jesse Waters, who's had this wild ride with multiple wives and make him feel fun by having him do shows on remote, Tom, from the Jersey Shore. Does that humanize you?
And it doesn't matter whether it humanizes them or not. And I don't think comedians are what's needed. When you have to pay hundreds of millions of dollars because you were delivering fake news, in order to build back your reputation, just deliver some real news. Stop stirring pots and bringing in comedians. And it'll really spruce things up better. Try to keep it well balanced. And that's a lot of the times that's the problem with so much of news is where it's an echo chamber rather than telling people what they want to hear rather than what they need to hear. And that's also the viewer's fault in America. If we are, I mean, we know it as sportscasters. If I would tell the truth about Kobe, and I used to joke about Kobe, who I loved, and I was a big apologist for Kobe, but I say, oh, it's a kidney stone offense. Kobe won't pass. And people say, why are you being a hater? Well, I'm just telling the truth. Kobe liked to shoot. He didn't like to pass. If you're telling people the truth about Biden or about Trump, it doesn't mean you're a hater. It's just giving or about any subject. It doesn't, you know, people can't even handle the truth about subjects or like you and I debate an issue. But it doesn't mean the other person's a bad person because I want to spend tax money on building bike paths and you want to build B-52 bombers. It doesn't mean we can't have a beer together later.
I watch CNN for the hurricanes. Yeah, CNN does a much better job than Fox with the war. They have real war correspondents there. I watch CNN for politics when they have a panel. I don't watch their local shows or their commentary shows because I lean more to the right. I don't watch MSNBC at all. I'll sample a little Joe Scarborough, but I won't watch it because I think that shows a little too much leaning one way. The View, as you know, I'm the first man, heterosexual male, ever to watch the first ever View. I was. You're laughing. If they could see this, I was the first man ever to watch The View. And when Barbara was there, it was kind of cool. It was nice, you know, hot topics. And now those women are politically raging every day, right, out of their minds, angry and mean. And then on my channel, my home team, Fox, which I still watch, so don't get in my DMs, I'm just noticing that they're putting in comedians and they're trying to make some of these people on their shows, who some of them are really miserable and really bad people morally because of the way they conduct their lives and they broke up their families. And they try to put a comedian next to them to make them look like they're more nice or they're easier to get along with. Do you see that at all? You don't watch that.
I don't. But yeah, but you do touch on a point which was really interesting. Is traditionally being conservative, as you are in a more traditional Northeastern way, is that you're not a big fan of people who are banging porn stars behind their wife's back. That's not a conservative value. And all of a sudden, because we belong to a team, and I know liberals did it with Clinton, people belong with a team. They defend the indefensible rather than saying, well, I'm not going to defend that. You don't have to defend the indefensible if somebody on your team does something indefensible. Have a laugh about it, because we don't have any control over it anyway, other than our vote. Have a laugh about it. Have another beer with a friend who thinks differently than you. Oh, and one more thing about this, just in this general wheelhouse, is the economy. I was talking to my brother about this. You know, people are upset about the price of eggs or the price of chicken, although they don't stop paying for it because they got the money. Our highways, our gas prices are going down on the West Coast, and our highways aren't that busy. You know why? Everyone's flying everywhere. Really? Everyone's flying everywhere. We broke records on Thanksgiving, on Christmas, on Memorial Day, and we're going to break more records in our airports on July 4th. People are saying that they can't afford chicken, but they're going to Rome. What is it? And the stock market's setting a record every week. In the history of unemployment, it's never been so low. A lot of the jobs suck. That's always the case, no matter who's president. This is my argument for having no president, like Belgium. Leave the pandemic out. 3 years under Trump and 3 years under Biden, leaving the last of Trump's out and the first of Biden's because of the pandemic. Our economy was amazing. Our economy has been amazing. And so how about just like Belgium? We don't have a favorite Valentine in the White House, and just let our economy roar along with no president.
The most important priorities in my life for my family is their health. Mm-hmm. Number one. Okay, no matter who the president is.
Yep.
It's your number two. The stock market is roaring. Are we going to get a pullback around the election? Probably. Mm-hmm. Could we have some chaos here? Yeah, we usually do. But the stock market's never been better. Most people that have real estate, their real estate has doubled.
Yep.
Didn't go up. It doubled. Mortgages are high. Yeah, there's a bunch of ways. Inflation is real. Mm-hmm. Inflation is real. But no matter who the president is, if you ever wake up in the morning and your life is dictated by who's going to be the president or who is the president.
Or your happiness.
Screwed. You're screwed. And I'm finding more and more people, probably because we're getting in front of an election, are starting to be that person. Like, they really believe their life will be better. What about the people's lives in Gaza and in Israel and in
any place in the world where you lose your electricity when it rains?
Yeah,
so there's nothing wrong with our country. We don't lose our electricity when it rains. Our infrastructure is amazing.
I never once in my entire life, woke up any day of my life and cared about or thought about who my president was going to be. I cared about my jobs. Do I have two or three? I care about my mortgage. I care about my kids' health and their safety when they're driving or on the road. That's all I care about. I never get involved in this, but we're all getting involved in politics. And I'll tell you this, because we had a Trump rally out here recently. I followed Normandy on the 80th with Biden. Both of these candidates right now are way off the reservation. They are screwing up. They are screwing up daily. I'm talking about not knowing where they are.
Oh, you mean putting their sentences together? Yeah, Jesus.
Have a captivated audience and say something stupid. Who's ever running these campaigns? Okay, and I'm not going to say it's the biggest election, Hannity, every year. The most important election of our lifetime.
Every 4 years of our life. They said that with Mondale.
Yeah, every 4 years. The most important election of our life. But my point is now, both of these candidates are really bad with their politics and what they want to do. You're going to vote for one or the other. I get that. But the way that they're trying to get into this first debate, or the way they're trying to fit in an extra rally or go on another road trip to see world leaders, they're messing it up, man. Neither one of them have been at the peak of their ability here. I'm noticing it because I'm looking at both sides and I'm trying to keep an open mind, not for my vote. I'm just trying to keep an open mind from a media perspective. Yeah. They are both way, way out of caliber and screwing up right now.
I will say this one thing about both of their stamina. You're right. Sometimes it starts to show the way they're speaking and forgetting the names of their doctors and the countries they're in, because they're both, it's become a push at what didn't used to be. But Biden hung out with the Pope, did the G7 thing, and then the next morning, he was as I was getting up at 5:30 to do the news, he was landing at Air Force One in Los Angeles, hopping off the plane, waving.
Well, they have beds on.
They do. My brother and I were joking. It's because he ate filet mignon and slept in a water bed on Air Force One. I got 12 hours sleep. He was probably fine.
Lastly, I'm back with the House of Dragon. I'm into the Thrones. I'm into the dragons. A lot of dragons now. It's worth going back. If you didn't watch Game of Thrones, you want to get into House of Dragon, you want to get into it, make the investment. It's brilliant. It's like going to a movie every night. I'm going to watch the House of Dragon. That means I'm going to a movie in my own house. It's fantastic. Episode 1 has dropped of season 2. I'd go back, see season 1. Maybe if you're looking for a summer binge, you go do that. I watched Bryan Cranston in Your Honor, season 2, about a former judge in New Orleans. Oh my God, it's gritty. It's really good. It's heavy New Orleans. I know the lower Ninth Ward, all of that. You got to go see Your Honor.
Below Deck Mediterranean's in Greece with Captain Sandy. Don't forget about that. Don't forget about that.
Do people just watch that show because they want to see one of the gals or the guys get changed?
Wow. Thank you for listening to all 39 minutes and 39 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast, powered by Bet Online, Modelo. Oh, and the Adam Jones podcast, one of the great podcasts in North America. South America has like 20 better podcasts than the Adam Jones podcast. But since you're not in South America, you're in North America, check out the Adam Jones podcast. Sometimes it's one of the best podcasts in North America. If you're in Bolivia, forget about it. Just go enjoy Lake Titicaca.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.